Well, here we are again.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
You got to join in. Familiar tunes, some different words, and here we go. One,
two, three, four. Let's all tickle, let's all giggle, let's all chuckle and grin right now. Let's all snigger, smirk and smile, let tickling begin. Oi, oi, let's all tickle in public. It's just the thing to do. So let's all tickle in public. It's good for me and you. So let's all tickle in public.
Your turn.
Tickle
each other.
If you've
not been to this before, you have to turn to somebody and tickle them. It may be a good idea to start with someone you know and progress as the show goes on. Some people are untickled. Do not leave our brothers and sisters out.
One, two, three, four. Tickling your rabbit as it munches in its hutch.
Tickling Gordon Brown. He's not laughing much.
Tickling Rolf Harris as he gives us Jake the Peg.
Plus a coalition tickle fest starting with Nick Clegg.
Tickling the famous beginning with Obama.
Simon Sharma, Judith Chalmers and the Dalai Lama.
Tickling our hyenas, but they're already happy.
Tickling a crocodile to stop him being snappy. So
let's all tickle, let's all giggle, let's all chuckle and grin right now. Let's all snigger, smirk and smile, let tickling begin. Oi, oi, let's all tickle in public. It's just a thing to do, so let's all tickle in public.
Some people are starting already.
It's good for me and you, so let's all tickle in
now,
public.
Now, tickle someone different.
Ein, zwei, drei, vier. Tickling Yo-Yo Ma when he's playing on his cello.
Tickling Capello until it makes him bellow.
Tickling the proper, the prissy and the prim.
Not tickling John Terry.
We're not fans of him.
Hey.
Tickling Humpty Dumpty, falling off the wall.
Tickling Andy Murray, trying to hit the ball.
Tickling the priests and tickling the vicars.
Tickling your granny when she's hanging out her.
Stop it. You can tickle on the left.
Do that now, tickle on the left. You can tickle on the right.
You can tickle all day.
And if you're lucky, you can tickle all night.
You can tickle someone's ears.
You can tickle someone's nose.
You like this? You can tickle someone's armpits.
On a Monday at Greenbelt. And indeed, you can tickle someone's toes if you dare.
So let's all tickle, let's all giggle, let's all chuckle and grin right now. Let's all snigger, smirk and smile, let tickling begin. Oi, oi, let's all tickle in public. It's just a thing to do. So let's all tickle in public. It's good for me and you. So let's all tickle in public.
Tickle each other, give each other a round of applause. You'll notice a strange instrument around my neck. This is a glam rock custom-made ukulele. And Stuart and myself have got to surprise you now because we have actually rehearsed some new pieces, especially for this year.
Yeah, so welcome to Tickling Public. This is the poetry show where you are the stars. And being poets, we like to look at things from different angles and play around with worms.
Words. Yes, yeah. You can play around with worms if you want. Being a Christian festival, we thought we'd write something spiritual and theological, so we thought we'd write something about vicars. And being poets, we like to write rhyming poetry.
And we thought, what rhymes with vicars?
You are our audience there. Thank you very much. So
you're on our level.
So we have got a poem all about vicars in their knickers, and there is a chorus, and it's just vicars in their knickers. One, two, three. Vicars in the knickers. Here we go.
Take it away, Lemmy Cookson. A priest in paisley pants while presenting even song. A bishop in his briefs when his sermons are too long. But if you are a minister in just a purple thong, then the minister is sinister and definitely wrong. A parson is a person who simply should know better than to wear their thermal long johns with granny's knitted sweater. I'll beg your pardon, Padre, as you are no trendsetter in a pink and padded posing pouch with just a hint of feta.
Oh, no.
Victors in their knickers, that's not what we want. Paraded by the font is really rather rude. Is better than the vicars in the naughty naked nude. Better than the vicars in the naughty naked nude. A cannon going off in his boxers during prayer. A cheeky chappy chaplain in his smalls would make you stare. A verger on the verge of revealing something rare. Irreverential reverends in irreverent underwear. A pastor in his white fronts is simply not the thing. A deacon in his jockey shorts is just not happening. It may be so hysterical, this clerical leaning, but never show your underwear if it's made from string.
Here we go.
Oh, no. That's not what we want. Parading by default is really rather rude. Is better than the vicars in the naughty naked nude. Better than the vicars in the naughty naked nude. Certainly.
Knickers. Vickers. Vickers. Vickers.
I learnt this poem whilst presenting for Radio 4. Certainly no Puritan, a curate in his briefs. In a pair too tight and small would challenge my beliefs and question the validity of what was underneath. It may be much more biblical to sport a big fig leaf or be like John the Baptist in the wilderness, that's where he lived on honeyed locusts while shouting things contrary, girding up his loins with a bearskin that is scary, covering your testaments with underpants so hairy.
Are they itchy?
Very.
Oh.
No. That's not what we want. Parading by the font is really rather rude. Better than the vicars in the naughty naked nude. Better than the vicars in the naughty naked nude.
Vickers. Vickers.
Knickers.
Big red knickers. For this next piece, we're going to welcome on stage the magic that is the Prof. Please welcome the Prof. And Prof is going to help us with a biblical worship chorus. Anybody who's been to Sunday school many, many years ago will know that Sunday school consisted of Bible stories put to words and actions. And we're going to teach you that now. I think the words are coming up on the screen. And about a king called Eglon. Eglon, and hands up if you are a vicar who's in the audience. Yes.
Where does it come from?
Yeah. If you don't believe this, ask one of the vicars which book of the Bible is Eglon from, by the way. Do you remember that? Judges. Judges, yes. Look it up when you get home if you're bored. But he was a big fat king, and he was an evil king, and God chose a man called Ehud, who was left-handed, to go and kill him. And he killed him while he was in his chamber. So we've written a little chorus about this. We'd like to teach it to you now, and it's to the tune of All Things Bright and Beautiful. So have the words actually come up? Yeah. Okay. If you can't see the words, it goes, Eglon was a mighty king, big and round and fat, belly like a rubber ring. God did not like that. Ehud was left-handed. God chose him for his own. Eglon, he was stranded. Sitting on his throne. Sitting. Ehud stabbed him in the gut, but he lost his sword. Eglon's fat just sucked it in. Let's all praise the Lord. So, obviously it ends up on a praiseworthy note. And being a chorus, we have to do actions. Now, I think you can interpret the actions for yourselves, but we all have to do the actions. So, Prof, if you'll lead us into the introduction, and then we'll all go into it together. All together. together. Give yourselves a round of applause and thank you, Prof. Prof will be back a little bit later on. Hands up if you've got children. They don't have to be with you. You know, hands up if you've got children, had children. Hands up if you've got a teenager. Hands up if you've got a teenage girl that you do not understand because they speak in sign language and attitude, one phrase, one word at a time. Yeah. Whatever. And they have those wobbly necks, or whatever. And that look on the face as if they can smell rotten cheese at all times, yeah. So this is the revenge poem. You can learn this and say it back to them. So I'm going to say it out loud. You can say it after me. Here we go. Whatever. Now, there are some people not doing the actions. I must point out at this stage, I used to be a teacher. We're going to stay here till everybody has done it properly. It is not my time we are wasting. No one's going out to play till we've all worked hard. Because Stuart and myself do lots of work in schools, and it's great. Because you always get introduced in the same way in the assembly. You get some well-meaning infant teacher going, well, boys and girls, we're very lucky today. We've got a special visitor. Can you see the special visitor? Can you see a strange face in assembly? And all the kids go, yeah, he's got a strange face. Thank you. And then they all say, yes, we're very lucky, because it's our book week, we've got a real live poet. They all say that, a real, what a stupid thing to say. I mean, what they're going to do, bring in a real dead poet. Yeah. That'll be exciting on Monday afternoon. We've got a real dead poet. Bring in the coffin. Anyway, so we're all going to join in. So I'll say it first, do it after me. Here we go. Whatever.
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 Loser.
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 Bit of phonics now, apparently it's important again. But why is phonics spelt with a PH and not an F? But that's a question for another day. Yeah. So that's a W, that's a E, and that's an L. So we go, whatever, loser. Whatever, major, loser. Loser, loser, get the picture. Got to frame your head now. Loser, loser, get the picture. Girls are superior.
Okay, here's a poem for the grown-ups. Boys and girls, there was a time before credit cards when, if you wanted to buy consumer goods, you had to pay on the never never. Now, if you don't want to listen to this poem, because basically it's a history lesson, just Facebook your probation officer. It's called Bring Back Radio Rentals. Comrades, I've had enough of Twitter and lentils. Bring back radio rentals. Paying for your telly week by week. A black and white fantasia in reproductive teak. A cathode cornucopia of drama and mystique. Variety, ballet and opera. Newsreaders who speak properer. Thank you. A public service genie of knowledge and delight, from Pinky and Perky to the sky at night, educationally immensely providential, with the telly from radio rentals, the memory becomes transcendental, recalling radio rentals, going with me mother on a trundling tram, the purpose of the trip to hire a radiogram, in the years after Suez, just before Vietnam, it proved to be an audio bonanza, listening to Mario Lanza, a record deck of luxury and halcyon finesse, which soon put pay to snakes and ladders, drafts and boarding chess, as exotic as a waltz or cha-cha, a hi-fi abracadabra, rushing home from school for toast and strawberry jam. Songbird Doris Day on the radiogram. Lots of yabba dabba do and a huge Shazam. We're up to date with radio rentals. Next, the tea's made from radio rentals. You've never had it so good with. Thank you.
Will you please welcome back on stage the Prof? So, another ukulele piece, another new piece for the Twist that Stuart and myself put together. And we decided, we'd write a poem that would fit in with Greenbelt. And, you know, playing around with words. And
we did. And this is such a phrase, isn't
yeah.
it? It's Rhythm Methodists. We don't know what it means either. But we like
boys
it.
Boys and girls, ask your mums and dads later.
So for this poem, we are a band called the Rhythm Methodists.
We are the Rhythm Methodists.
And in true Tickling in Public tradition, there is a chorus which you can actually join in.
Yes. Now we're in two halves. This half, we're going to say Rhythm Methodism. And this half, you're going to shout out, Pass the Vimto.
And then this half, we're going to say Rhythm Methodism.
You're ahead of us. So.
How spooky you can read our minds.
Or they came to the Twist last night when we rehearsed it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's true.
So, Rhythm Methodism.
Rhythm Methodism. Fantastic. Okay, boys and girls, this is banging music. We go to church each Sunday and we watch the BBC. Believe in solving problems with a nice hot cup of tea. We're rank and file apologists and harvest service botanists, Easter morning optimists. We like to sing long hymns about what God is doing for us. They may have lots of verses, but we won't repeat a chorus. We're quite polite redemptionists, corduroy cosmetologists, big trouser wearing naturists. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. We all believe in temperance and some have signed the pledge against the demon drink that could push us on the edge. Teetotal totalitarianists, Ribena for our Eucharists, never ever Brahms and Liszt. 20-minute sermons, certainly no longer, or else the tea is stewed and the coffee's getting stronger. Custard cream nutritionists, digestive fundamentalists, rich tea congregationalists. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. A children's talk to set the scene, a quiz to please and tease us, with questions we can answer, but the answer's always Jesus. Fuzzy felt traditionalists, Sunday school provisionalists, missionary positionalists. Confectionery perfection in our puddings, pies and bakes, an Eiffel Tower of trifles and Victoria sponge cakes. Domestic exhibitionists, bountiful provisionists, give hot pot to the atheists. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. We believe in all the Bible, Genesis to Revelations, but skip a bit through Numbers, Song of Songs and Lamentations. Creationist biologists, holy rock geologists, faithful free theologists. We believe in what we believe and won't change one iota, steadfast in our faithfulness to the flower rota. Bring and buy sale activists and Richard Dawkins coexists with us, the Rhythm Methodists. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. We're radicals in cardigans where women have their place. Ideally in the pulpit where they teach us truth and grace. We're pearl and twin set anarchists, flowery hat compassionists, hot pot supper socialists. Rock and roll has passed us by, untouched by Elvis Presley, but stirring in our loins are thumping tunes by dear Charles Wesley. Hymnal loving hedonists, pumping heart salvationists, we're the Rhythm Methodists. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism. Rhythm Methodism.
Bless you.
Actually, I got a request before from somebody called Unsigned. It said, please, can you do the cool, I've got to be cool poem? We sing it in school, which is great. So I'm going to do that now. P.S. We love Paul Coxon too. Highly questionable.
Yeah, it's in Stuart's handwriting, though.
I spelled Coxon wrong. so anyway, before I had a bit of a pop at the boys. Boys, this is your poem. Growing up, being a lad, is really difficult, isn't it? I can't remember. But it really is, really difficult. So here's a poem about growing up, being a lad, in the 21st century coalition Britain. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got to look right. I've got to look right. I'm 10 years old and I've got to look right. Right, trainers walk tall. In spite of me height, I'll be left on me own if I don't look right. I've got to act right. I've got to act right. Move smooth and swagger. I've got to act right. Gangster rap behaviour, though I'm from the Isle of Wight. They'll diss me and dismiss me if I don't act right. I've got to seem right. I've got to seem right. Mobile phone and DVDs, I've got to seem right. Right. But I told no one that I bookmarked a pottery website. Best not reveal your hobbies when you've got to seem right. I've got to sound right. I've got to sound right. What's up? I'm chilling. I've got to sound right. But I sound like Joe Pasquale instead of Barry White. It's a challenge for a hoodie if you don't sound right. But I wanna look wrong. I wanna look wrong. Ditch me urban uniform. I wanna look wrong. Go to school tomorrow in a beret and sarong. A key stage fashion talking point. I want to look wrong. I wanna be me. I wanna be me like a bee trapped in a jam jar. I wanna buzz free in the evening. Have me breakfast in the morning. Eat me tea. But me mates would bait and slate me if I turned up as me. So I've got to look right. I've got to look right. I'm 10 years old and I've got to look right. Right, trainers walk tall. In spite of me height, I'll be left on me own. I'll be left on me own. I'll be left on me own if... Thank you. Bye, Prof. Bye. Bye. Okay, here's a poem for all mothers. I think mothers are fantastic. I think they're wonderful. I think they're goddesses. Here's a poem called My Mother Smells. My mother smells of pizza, toast and shepherd's pie. My mother smells of ironing and washing almost dry. My mother smells of hair gel, her cut is short and slick, and sometimes if the baby's ill, my mother smells of sick. My mother smells of perfume, although she's getting on. My mother smells of girls' night out. She's almost 41. I think that connected with the ladies.
That's a first.
That's a first, yeah. Conform. My mother smells of safety. Is that so of other mums? My mother smells of worry when the debit statement comes. My mother smells of patience, but if I'm doing wrong, my mother smells of very cross, which doesn't last that long. My mother smells of many things, of chips, a duvet cover, styling mousse, soiled bibs, and love. These smells are all my mother. Boys and girls, turn to your mother and kiss them.
Before, I was talking about the girls and the whatever. Now, hands up if you've got a teenage boy. Right. I'm going to I am a father of a teenage boy, and I'll be honest with you. I'm going to shock you now at a Christian festival by telling you this. Up until the age of 13, I did not believe in evolution. And my son's birthday, up to the age of 13, I did not believe in evolution. After his 13th birthday, I now believe in evolution totally. Because he's the missing link between the ape and the human being. Yeah. Sam, tidy room. Oh, do I? Yeah. Wash the pots. Oh, money. Yeah, so. Grow up.
How?
So there's a little refrain. I'm going to say, I believe in, and you can say evolution. I believe in?
Evolution.
Yes. And I never thought we'd get this going at a Christian festival, to be honest. Yes. When I was a youth, I could only believe in the literal truth of Adam and Eve. I didn't have proof. I couldn't conceive that the Bible could deceive. I'd heard of Charlie Darwin, but didn't agree. Never took his theory seriously. Never really seen that real to me, natural selectivity. But since my son has turned 13, I'm changing the way that I think. Because I believe in... He's the missing link. Apes and gorillas to human beings, it's not as daft as you think. I believe in... He's the missing. He's a cave boy, hobbit, a troll and an orc, like a Neanderthal when he starts to walk, the monotone grunt when he tries to talk. He only just uses a fork. Only speaks one word at a time, but they're not really words that you can define. More like a sound with a sign than a mime, and one syllable is fine. Spots and hair sprout everywhere and a brain that's starting to shrink. I believe in. He's the missing. The flatulent fumes of foul-filled baboon, the sweating, the stench and the stink, I believe in. He's the missing. These are the features that define him. Knuckles on the floor, dragging behind him. Slouching on the couch, that's where you'll find him. Everything you have to remind him. Life is a puzzle he can't seem to solve. The cogs in the brain slowly start to revolve. Hands down his trousers, trying to resolve why some bits are yet to evolve. Those who don't understand, they'll be, oh, anyway. Leaves all his pots and cups on the floor. He can't find a kitchen sink. I believe in. He's the missing. Always horizontal, going on and on till he drives us over the brink. I believe in. He's the missing. The only evidence that I can see of evolution seems to be advanced digital dexterity, ESP on the Xbox 3. Hand-to-eye coordination, concentration like constipation, fingers and thumbs, the only animation glued to his PlayStation. Since my son has turned 13, I'm changing the way that I think. I believe in. He's the missing. We believe in. He's the missing. Thank you very much. Hands up if you've ever watched football with your dad. Right, so you watch football. Hands up if, when you're watching football with your father decides it's a good idea to shout out at the television. Hands up if your dad shouts out rude and naughty words at the television. Confess that here, brothers and sisters. Hands up if you have learnt new words because of the words he's shouted out. Hands up if your mother then shouts at your father because of the words he's shouted out. Yes. This poem is all about, it's called Dad, Don't Shout at the Ref. You can join in with the word ref. Dad, don't shout at the... Now, as Dad gets angrier and angrier throughout the poem, we get louder and louder, so don't peek too soon. So, Dad, don't shout at the ref. Okay. It's always just the same in every single game. I bet that you can hear him in Kiev. Does he have to be so loud because he's louder than the crowd? Dad, don't shout at the... His cheeks are burning red. His hair stands off his head. He's raving without ever taking breath. He's yelling and screaming, and both his ears are steaming. Dad, don't shout at the... There's no chance of him stopping because both his eyes are popping, cursing like a foul-mouthed TV chef. He's jumping when he rants like the scorpions down his pants. Dad, don't shout at the... Always disagreeing with everything he's seeing. Every little thing leaves him bereft. He's sweating most profusely while his tongue is wagging loosely. Dad, don't shout at the... His theory seems to be it's a conspiracy, complaining that it might as well be theft. He's screaming, he's howling, that no one sees the fouling. Dad, don't shout at the... Yeah. Do you know the rules, you silly, stupid fool? Are you blind as well as dumb and deaf? He's holding up his glasses every time he passes. Dad, don't shout at the... Yeah. And because it is inconsistent, he's berating the assistant that a fate awaits them both that's worse than death. We know his football passion all make him more irrational. Dad, don't shout at the... Yeah. Last verse. Mum's partly to blame, because she says, it's just a game, like she understands. And asks him whether all his sense has left. If he doesn't start to stop it, then his heart is going to cop it. Dad, don't shout, don't let the anger out, because it's not what it's about. So, Dad, don't shout at the... Give yourselves a round of applause. Still talking about dads. Hands up if when your dad goes to the bathroom, and I don't mean for a bath or for a shower, for a sit down. Hands up if he takes lots of books and magazines when he goes for a long sit down. Yeah. Sometimes he takes the laptop to keep his knees warm as well, doesn't he? I don't know why that is. You know. And hands up if he then spends ages and ages and ages in said bathroom. And you're desperate going, Dad, hurry up, hurry up. Eventually he comes out and you're about to go in and he stops and says, not yet. I'd give it a minute. Hands up if you've heard that phrase. Well, that phrase is in this poem. And I'm going to say, what does it say? And you can say, give it a minute. Somebody's confessing there, give it 10. Yeah. That gentleman there, his wife is so proud. She's saying, thank you. But she's not disagreeing. If Dad has a rucksack full of books, then that's a clue. Magazines and newspapers and the Sunday supplements too. He shuts the door behind him. We can hear him lock it. Then we hear him blast off like a supersonic rocket. Oh no, Dad's in the loo. We all know what he's going to do. We wish it was a number one and not a number
two.
Correct. Beware the bathroom, Dad's been in it. What does he say? Beware the bathroom, Dad's been in it. What does he say? Bouncing bombs and depth charges exploding all around. It's not good vibrations, more like pet sounds. Time is not the only thing that passes while he's there. There's mushroom clouds of gases and they're hanging everywhere. Oh no, Dad's in the loop. We all know what he's going to do. We wish it was a number one and not a number. Beware the bathroom, Dad's been in it. What does he say? Beware the bathroom, Dad's been in it. What does he say? Reigning there for ages, like a king sits on his throne. He's straining, turning the pages, and we hear each grunt and groan. Every ooh and every ah, every groan and grimace. His toilet time's like mastermind. I've started, so I'll finish. Oh no, Dad's in the loo. The atmosphere is green and blue. We wish it was a number one and not a number
two.
Beware the bathroom, Dad's been in it. What does he say? Beware the bathroom, Dad's been in it. What does he say? A minute or two or three or four. Make it an hour or maybe more. Then is it safe to open the door? No, correct. It's dangerous and poisonous. A toxic aftermath. The toilet has gone nuclear and there's fallout in the bath. His gaseous emissions are dangerously high and father's carbon footprint is blocking up the sky. Oh no, Dad's in the loo. Global warming through and through. We wish it was a number one and not a number
two.
Bathroom danger, Dad's been in it. What does he say? The world stands still, time's infinite. What does he say? Like a pig, the sky's the limit. What does he say? An endurance test, he would win it. What does he say? What does he say? What does he say? Or sometimes give it 10.
Right, boys and girls, when you go back to school next week, here is something I suggest you try. It probably hasn't been cleared by health and safety. Is it this week? All right. Sorry, I haven't got kids. I couldn't have kids, actually. I've got a white carpet. I'm saving all my dandruff, every little speck. The constant shower that settles from throat right round to neck. I so wish our school jumper wasn't navy blue, for every day my shoulders provide a leading clue that my scalp is a snowstorm, a flaking territory, which makes the cruel jokers point and laugh at me. My dandruff's in a jam jar. I've screwed the lid on tight. This private bitter secret, a growing mound of white. So next time that school dinner is spag bol in a pile, the grated cheese on top will be something much more vile. And those who shouted scaly and made me feel so low will eat up all my dandruff. What's more, they'll never know. Righty-ho, I was reading an article which said that over 3 million Americans claim to have been taken away, spirited away by aliens. And then they come back and they enter chat rooms and talk about their astral experience. Now, with my Radio 4 hat on, I thought that's single source, because we've never actually heard the story from the aliens' point of view. This is a poem called Do Aliens. Do aliens wear cardigans and purchase garden trowels? Do they travel to the dark star but forget to pack their towels? Do aliens have hobbies? Do they learn calligraphy? Do their spacecraft come in flat packs and without the Allen key? Are aliens self-conscious, think their bodies all amiss? Do they anxiously inquire, do my 12 bums look big in this? Do aliens have nightmares, eat bad oysters, feel unwell? And if aliens have acne, how on Venus can you tell? Do aliens wear dentures, play bridge, become quite sour, make plans to build a rockery from a meteor shower? Do aliens make endless lists, have sheds and don't like fuss, ensure they always listen to the Archer's omnibus? Are aliens kept up at night with gaseous nebula? Do they moan about the journey from Mars to Jupiter? Do aliens misplace things like galactic latitude? Do antennae turn arthritic, hence an alien's liverish mood? Are their flight decks made of decking? Do aliens have souls? During an eclipse, do they play floodlit carpet bowls? Are they running out of wonder? Are they bored with Pegasus? Is the reason for abduction that they're lonely, just like us? Ladies and gentlemen, this is our show-stopping finale. We've run out of time. Don't patronise. This is a poem. Do you want to explain this, Mr. Cookson?
Oh yes.
Yep. We need two volunteers for our backing band. We want a rock and roll backing band. So, Stuart would like to choose somebody from that side, please. Somebody from this side.
A young man.
With the hat.
The man with the hat gets it.
Yeah, the man with the hat. Give him a round of applause, please. So, okay. Come and stand over here, please. What's your name? Say hello to Joel.
Hello, Joel. And
Joel and Eve. Oh, that nearly works so well biblically. Okay. So, Joel, go and stand over there, please. You've got a rattle.
There you go.
And I'm going to play a little bit on here. And then, Joel, when I go, you're going to shake the rattle like that. So. And then I'm going to do it again. You sing into it. Yeah, under the microphone. It's not going to make any difference, I don't think. But just go like this. Sorry. Yeah. Just clean that now. Yeah.
So try it.
No, sing. Yeah. Okay.
The chows are natural.
And don't worry. You'll pick this up.
Yeah,
we'll just point
worry.
At you and just make a noise.
Because we're just making it up. So don't worry.
And this is called Uncle Dunk's a Punk. And there is a chorus, but we're not going to tell you it because you just join and you're just going to go, oi, I did tell you it. There we go.
One, two, three, try, yeah, go. Mother is a skinhead, brother's heavy metal. Sister's into flower power, so we call her Petal. Her boyfriend Shane likes drums and bass, always on the rave. Grandma is a rapper, yo, she repeats everything she says. 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 In spite of this exotica, no one can compare to Uncle Dunk from Doncaster with his cartoon spiky hair. With his cartoon spiky hair, cause Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a boy, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi.
You're supposed to go oi, oi. Uncle Dunk's a punk,
oi, oi.
Now you get the punk rock hair as well. Oi, oi. Uncle Dunk's a punk,
oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Dad dresses. You haven't finished. Go. Dad dresses like Elvis and greases back his hair. Granddad likes the 70s with platform boots and flares. Heavy rock at 94 years old affected Uncle Fred. Thatcher now does 95. He's got tattoos on his bald head. Motorhead, Motorhead, Motorhead on his baldy head. Uncle Dunk's arthritic, years of wear and tear. Bouncing like a pogo stick, hence the Stanna stare, Stanna stare, Stanna stare, Stanna stairway to heaven. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, yes. Rattle, shake, rattle. It's sort of working.
Next verse!
Auntie Renny, once removed from Italy, likes opera. Uncle Clive likes to jive, but always lands on top of her. Cousin Ray likes reggae, the baby sings the blues. The dog and cat like rock and roll, and both wear blue suede shoes. Come on, feel the noise in their blue suede shoes.
Not yet.
Uncle Dunk loves Johnny Rotten, Susie Shoe and Teenage Kicks. Cos he lives in Yorkshire, it's still 1976. Cos he lives in Yorkshire, it's still 1966. Cos he lives in 56, 1936.
Have you been to Barnsley?
So, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk, Uncle Dunk's a punk, oi, oi. London Calling, songs gone from the spleen. God Save the Queen to Uncle Dunk, it's still a fascist regime. No more heroes anymore, he thrashes them out daily. Anarchy, anarchy, in the ukulele!
Anderson, stylophone solo!
Thank you very much. That's it. We've got to clear the tent. Thank you so much for coming. You've been wonderful. You've been marvellous. Bless you, and may you have many children.
Bye-bye. And we'll hopefully see you this time next year.